Hey, welcome back, everybody. Tom McNew here on What Would Father Say with Father John Gazzotto. Father, thanks again, as always, for carving out some time and joining us.
My pleasure. Always a joy. Always got something to say.
Folks, if you have missed any of our previous episodes, again, they're all available on armorofgodradio.com. Under our schedule tab there, you can find the podcasts of all of our local programs. You can download them, listen to them at your leisure. You can share them with your friends and family who may benefit from listening to Father John's insight. And maybe encourage them to on their own particular journey through their faith. Today we are going to jump into the Eighth Commandment. And this is another one that is often confused. And like as we have discovered in the previous seven, there are many, many layers and many, many aspects to this. But I think, Father, really the best place to start with when we talk about the Eighth Commandment and you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor is what does the phrase false witness
Yeah, well,
really
first I
mean?
say it nowhere says thou shalt not lie. Lying is part of this, but bearing false witness has a very Old Testament background and echo and ethos, because people were, anytime someone was charged with something or someone was accused of something, it was always based, because they didn't have, cameras. Everything was based on witnesses. If someone is accused of something, it must be attested to by two or more witnesses, to put someone in jail, to give someone the death penalty. And people would connive to have people put in jail or killed. But to bear witness to what you have seen and forbids misrepresenting truth. So what does that mean? And that even points to ultimate truth, which is Jesus Christ. God is a source of all truth. So we're asked to live in truth, to profess the truth, to never lie. That doesn't mean sometimes we don't tell people everything. We have to be prudent. We'll probably get in the sacrosanct of the sacrament of confession. We don't have to tell everybody everything, but lying, unjust lying, is because you want to get out of something. You want to make yourself look better. Or steal from someone, so or ruin someone's reputation. So it's ha always a courtroom scene. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Tell the truth. And it's one of those things that's it's attached to an oath. Scott Hahn talks about this always, that oaths were very important, because we couldn't keep people to their promises. We had to tie them to God. Do you raise your hand and swear, in a courtroom, hold truth and nothing but the truth to help me God? So what is that saying? It said, I will tell the truth or I will be cursed. If I do not tell the truth. So when you make an oath and you keep to that oath, blessings come. When you make an oath and you violate that oath, curses come. Even a little kid says, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. That has an echo of the Old Testament precept of oath taking, which is what we do when we get ordained or when we get married, and we testify for or against someone that we're telling the truth. So yeah.
And
Ooh.
folks, for those of you that are following along in your catechism, we are on we're starting here with paragraph 2464, Article 8, the Eighth Commandment. Again, on my catechism is page 591. And for those of you that don't have a catechism and you want one, you give me a call, send me an email, tom@armorofgodradio.com or 254 371-7566. I will personally make sure that you and your family have a catechism. It is that important. It is that critical.
Yeah.
And you Father, you talked about really the first section just kind of lays it down here. In Jesus Christ, the whole of God's truth has been made manifest. First sentence there in paragraph 2466. And
Yeah, and we have a duty to tell people about Christ. And we violate that by saying, oh, what you believe, what I believe, and let's just let it stand. No, we don't. What? No, there is such a thing as truth, and it's worth fighting for. Now, we may have to, do a better job of being civil, but whenever it comes to moral truth, especially about the truth of religion, of Christianity, to say things like agree to disagree, I don't do that. What are we here for? People have a right to the truth, and everybody knows this. Everybody hates being lied to. You hate being lied to. And when you find out that you've been lied to, oh my gosh, it's such a betrayal. Especially when you trusted someone and they took advantage of your trust. That just makes people lose heart. Wow, I believe this. I was lied to the whole time. So we're asked to be little Christians, bear witness to the and not be ashamed, as it says in 2471. The Christian is not to be ashamed then of testifying to our Lord. We must profess it without equivocation. We must keep a clear conscience toward God and towards men. And that may even involve, as 2473 says, martyrdom. So that's what convinced the first Christians. Wow, these men died for this. Because nobody dies for a lie. Nobody dies for a lie. And that the blood of the martyrs testify, wow, they really believed this. And it gave them hope, it gave them meaning. Another one,
Our,
the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Go ahead.
I was going to say our society really kind of makes that hard for us sometimes, with the, oh, you keep your religion in your house, and that's then the privacy of your own home kind of nonsense that we hear from our secular world, especially in the media. But that is 180 degrees from what the church requires us to do, to stand up for our faith and to bear witness to the truth, as it says here in section 2.
So we can skip to section 3 because that's where all the juicy stuff is that people are worried about.
The 10 sins against the eighth commandment is what this section should be called.
Because it goes right down the road here, doesn't it? So it is in a courtroom scene. It uses courtroom language, false witness and perjury, that you take an oath to tell the truth. And it's condemnable. These contribute to condemnation of the innocent, exoneration of the guilty, or an increase of punishment and of the accused. Nothing more injustice. What happened to Jesus is that an innocent man is punished. Now everybody has it that written in their heart. Little kids, one of the first things they start becoming notice of is when something's not fair. That's not fair. Or you promised, you pinky promised. Oh, they have an understanding now. Well, this is for real. You promised. So, but does everybody deserve all the truth all the time? No. No. When people talk about, let's talk about gossip. So there's all different kinds of gossip. Sometimes, even your family may start gossiping, say, Mom or Dad, that's, or cousin Joey, that's gossip. Oh, but it's true. Just because it's true doesn't mean it's okay to talk about. So everybody has a right to reputation. There's two kinds of gossip: slander or calumny, and detraction. So what is slander? Everybody knows what slander and calumny is. Telling a lie about someone. When you tell a lie about someone, you can even say that falls under the fifth commandment of thou shalt not kill, because you're killing their reputation. And once a reputation is hurt, it's very difficult to repair that. And the person who did it is supposed to repair it. And once you think badly about someone, that's it. That's it. It's like a lie is like a has its own. If I tell a If I slander you, Tom McNew, to someone else, Tom McNew is a serial bank robber. And then they believe it, and then you find out, I'm sorry, I apologize, you and I reconcile. But that poison is still out there. It is still spreading in a cosmic way, and I have to undo that. So
I think
that's
this there's a gospel passage that's running through my head right now. And you'll probably be able to tell me better, but I think it's in Matthew's gospel where the Lord tells us, "Hey, if you're coming to make an offering
Yeah, Matthew.
to the altar, and you remember that you have a sin against your brother,
We have
to
something
go and
against you.
reconcile,
Worse. Hey,
before you
don't
make
come
that
up here.
offering."
It's kind of like, when you have kids and they're fighting and you stop them and they say, "Oh, Dad, I'm sorry. Hey, apologize to your little brother first. And then you can come to me. Or if I steal 10 bucks from you, I go, I say this to our non-Catholic brethren all the time, if I steal 10 bucks from you, and I go into my room and ask God for forgiveness, does he forgive me if I still have your money? I have not been reconciled." So that's slander or calumny. But the other thing is detraction. This one's more sometimes less known,
Okay.
that's telling truths about people that people don't need to hear. They don't need to know about that. And there's things that you have done, Tom McNew, and that I have done, and that people don't need to know about. Both of us were 18 at one time, and if suddenly some video camera of things we were doing when I was 17 and 18 came out, oh my gosh.
But this is more than just, oh, that Tom McNew guy, he cheats on his taxes. It's not that kind of, it's not that kind of, when you talk about detraction, you're talking about, oh, Bobby Jones, who lives down the street, when he was younger, I used to catch him drinking and driving all the time.
And
There's a difference there.
it hurts their relationship. Now that's an impediment to them becoming brothers in Christ, because that's now part of his identity. Oh, that's the kid that. We all do that. And gossip is such, and we I confess it too. Gossip is such a temptation, because it makes us feel better about ourselves. It gives us, gives us high moral ground. But if people started gossiping about us, even saying true things, man, that comes out in the exorcism rite. If you're a part of an exorcism and you haven't gone to confession, the demons are allowed to see your sins, and they'll tell
Really?
everybody in the room, "Well, you know what he did last Saturday night? That's
Wow.
why don't go in there. Don't go in unless you've gone to confession, because you're gonna tell everybody your sins." It'll be that,
But that's a conversation for another episode right there.
So we have other things like, did you know that it's a sin to brag or boast?
What?
Number 2481. If you
So
start bragging
what is that?
about,
So, but there's, I think, this is another one that probably needs some onion peeling here. Because I think you can, and I think we all exhibit a moments of being proud of things that we have done and or our children or grandchildren have done, and we're excited to tell people about them. Where does it get to the point where it is bragging or boasting?
To put somebody down, to make ourselves look better. People understand that. They hate a bragger. People do. They hate, "Oh, you know what I did, and we did it better." And people, when you say what I did today, and, "Oh yeah, that ain't nothing." Nobody likes that. No, instead of saying, "Oh, that's fantastic. Wow, I wish, teach me how to do that." So I just skipped down to 2481 that talked about that.
Go
But I
ahead.
would want to talk about, because this is one that people miss, and that I, first time I read it, I freaked out, because it's hard to discern, because we have a name for it in English, 2480. I'm just going to go ahead and read.
Oh, this is a good one.
"Every word or attitude is forbidden which by flattery, adulation, or complaisance encourages and confirms another in malicious acts or perverse conduct." Encouraging someone. Adulation is a grave fault if it makes one an accomplice in another's vice or grave sins. Neither desire to be of service nor friendship justifies duplicitous of speech. Adulation is a venial sin when it is only seeks to be agreeable, to avoid evil, to meet a need, or obtain a legitimate advantage. What that means is adulation can be a sin if it gains me advantage. So in other words, we have a name for that. Kissing up is a sin. It is kissing up. It's Eddie Haskell. Hi, Mrs. Cleaver. You look so pretty today. Thank you, Eddie. He's committing at least a venial sin because he's building up someone so that she likes, you know, it says here, to obtain legitimate advantages. Yeah. That means you're getting ahead. You're kissing up. I remember I read this and one of the guys said, is that kissing up? Yes. Yes. Hello, Bishop. Oh, you look so nice. You're such a holy person. You know, I'm so lucky to have you as my bishop. You know, and sometimes people can tell what is it you want. What is it you want? Yeah. Or a little kid comes, hi, Mom, I love you so much. I'm so grateful. I remember seeing this once in Mexico. This little boy sits down, puts his head on his mom's shoulder. Hi, Mom, I love you so much. You're the best mom in the world. And she goes, I don't have any money. I don't have any money. No tengo dinero. But who's kidding? Who are all tempted to do that?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's an interesting, interesting definition of the word, compliance or complacence, excuse me, and adulation. It's just, I think it's, I think we all do this to an extent. Maybe we don't always, maybe we're not always trying to do it from the standpoint of to get a leg up or to be a kiss up or a brown noser or whatever the whatever the phrase is. But I think all of us, you know, we do a little bit of this of this kind of speech, to curry some favor.
Curry
with
favor.
Someone. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not just curry favor, but curry favor over other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kid who runs up to the teacher, always giving her gifts every day, not because he loves the teacher, but he wants an advantage mm-hmm. over the other students. It's always, what is your intention? What is your intention? But if someone comes up to you and says to a teacher or a boss, hey, you were hard on me and I deserved it and I appreciate that. Thanks for pushing me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that can be very legitimate. You realize you're not getting a leg up. In justice, you're acknowledging that that person loved you and pushed you beyond themselves. Yeah.
And I think this is where, you know, understanding tone of voice and the context really makes a difference. Like you said, if someone goes to their boss and says, you know, hey, boss, you know, you're right for scolding me or whatever the case may be. And I really thank you. I appreciate that. You know, yada. Doing that maybe in a private context when you are kind of recognizing your own faults and your own missteps versus. Versus doing that in front of a group of people where, like we said, we're trying to curry favor or something.
Yeah. I had this happened many years ago. I had a man who was kind of a tough guy. He was a coach but he was on our youth team of adults. Mm-hmm. And he was being rude to the adult, like the youth minister, and just being rude to people. And so I remember I called in him and I said, I need you to step down. Firing a volunteer is hard.
Yeah.
If you're not called to this, I need you to step down. Well, later he came by and he said, you were right. I needed that. Thank you. And he didn't ask to come back on. He said, I needed to hear that. And, you know, it was hard for him. And it's weird to say you're welcome to that. So so we got more about lying.
Yeah.
The gravity of a lie. If it violates justice and charity, it can be different. It's one thing when you tell your wife, if she asks you if the dress makes her look overweight, you look beautiful. But on 2485, the very last sentence, 2485, mm-hmm. the culpability is greater when the intention is deceiving, entails the risk of deadly consequences for those who are led astray. If
And it's
a
that,
grave injury, go ahead.
right. No, I was going to say it's that intention, just like we were talking about earlier. It's that intention, I think, is what is the
It's that great
demarcation.
story of the emperor has no clothes. Everybody was lying to him because they wanted to curry favor. He didn't have any clothes on him, but no one had the guts to say, "Hey, come on, you look terrible. What's the deal?" Because truth is worth sticking up for. Now, how we do that and how we approach it, you could be, I always tell married couples when they get into an argument, you could be absolutely right and still divorced. You got to decide whether you want to be right or divorced. But to be able to say, I see what you're saying. Are you saying this? You know, that's where you have to be creative. I'm not all that creative sometimes when professing the truth that I believe to be true. So,
And I think the other kind of interesting phraseology in the, you know, the paragraph right before that, where it uses the term gravity of a lie, paragraph 2484. And it gets into, again, kind of what you were talking about, the nature of the offense and the nature of the truth, who it's, you know, there are times when people, like you said, don't need to know the whole truth.
Yeah. It's none of their business.
Yeah.
But I will say, you know, also, you know, 2486, lying is destructive of society. It undermines trust among men and tears apart the fabric of social relationships. If young people are constantly lied to about to other parents and promises are constantly broken, you can take their faith from them. They won't trust anybody. If a child has been hurt and lied to, there's a song by a band called Faster Pussycat, but they have a song it's about a boy whose dad never came around and how it scarred him. It's a powerful song. I can't remember. It's called House of Pain. If anybody
House
wants
of,
to look it up, now there's no
it's a
one
ballad.
home. So you're familiar with it. It is a sad
I
song.
It is a very sad song.
Wasn't I worth the time? Boy needs a daddy like a dad, you know, like a, but you can take their faith. They don't believe anybody. They don't trust anybody because someone had lied to them and violated their promises over and over and over again.
Sad state to be in.
Yeah.
And then the kind of the way to, I think we could kind of close out this, this first part of our Eighth Amendment, good grief, Eighth Commandment, is pardon my slip of the tongue there. Is in 2487, it talks about the duty of reparation.
Wow.
So what does that mean for us?
Yeah.
As pew sitting Catholics?
Yeah, that's tough because that's the medicine. When we have told a lie, we have any kind of injustice that we have, we have to, there's damage and we're asked to repair the damage. You know, it's kind of like that thing, a boss or a father, every time it takes like seven data boys to make up for every, what's wrong with you? For every lie and injustice that we contribute to, it takes a lot to undo that. You know, even in marriage, when we have done something wrong, to be able to go to someone in humility and say, I was wrong and I'm sorry. You were right. I was wrong. And that starts to heal the wound. It starts to heal the wound. And we know this internally. How can I make that up to you? If someone has suffered harm, cannot be discreetly compensated, he must be given moral satisfaction in the name of charity. This duty of reparation also comes offenses against another's reputation. This reparation, moral and sometimes material, must be evaluated in terms of the extent of the damage inflicted. It obliges in conscience. So when I was in a seminary, we had this one guy, this young man, I won't say his name, and he was a disaster. He was a disaster as a seminarian. He got into the seminary because his dad was a Monsignor in some diocese. And the guy was, poor kid, was had was on the spectrum. Anyway, he was always doing something bad or something wrong. But I remember one time we were sitting around just lambasting him, you know. So and so, we'll call him Benny. Benny did this, Benny did that. Can you believe he did? And finally, one person spoke up and said, "You know, but he's good at this. He's come a long way in this action." That shut us down. And it started to heal the septic, toxic nature. Because I think gossip can be like a drug. You want just to do it more and the more and more. And when somebody finally says, "Okay, that's enough," or pays them a compliment, which is reparation, you know, all of a sudden it's like a splash in the face. We have hurt his reputation, that our resentment needs to turn to pity. And when we have, you know, I said something bad about you, and I'd like to. Somebody came out of mass a few weeks ago. I don't even know the guy. He said, "Father John, I talk badly about you." I said, "Oh, I don't know. Okay. Can I have your blessing?" I have no idea what he was talking about. I don't even know the kid. He was maybe a kid. He's in his 20s. I think he was applying for the diocese or something. And I didn't know, but he was conscious that he had said something. You know, we priests have to be used to that. I mean, you know, there's always something strange when I'm at a big function, I'm sitting there, and I hear somebody behind me talking about me. And you know, say, "I'm right here, I'm right here." But we
You
are
just
public figures, and that comes with the territory. I mean, when you just get out of mass and you have 500 people at the mass and only you, and they're all talking about the sermon, well, that's it's always, you can hear, you know, yeah. So, and I always feel bad. Like I'll go to a Catholic school. I went here once. One of the teachers told me, I gave a sermon to a bunch of high school kids, and I was hard on them. I talked about the Holy Trinity, and then I talked about the unholy Trinity, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that totally scandalized some of the kids. Isn't this supposed to be good? And they spent the whole day trying to mend the confusion that I had started. I felt so bad. But they were trying to repair. What was Father John talking about? He's crazy. So now the teachers were in a position to repair other kids bad mouthing me. So,
But the
anyway.
oblig the obligation in conscience, I think,
Wow,
is
yeah.
something that we all need to. That's our takeaway for this week's episode of
Amen,
What
brother.
Would Father
Amen.
Say? Father, please give us a blessing before we go this week.
Heavenly Father, send your spirit upon us and kick up all the gifts of our confirmation. That we always use that gift of the Holy Spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and counsel, to always speak and live the truth. And may Almighty God bless all of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Father. We appreciate your time, folks. We'll be back next week. We will close out with the eighth commandment here. And if you missed part of this episode, we'll do an encore presentation on Sunday afternoon at 12:30, right here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. Everybody, y'all have a great weekend. God bless you, and thanks for joining us.